إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, I want to remind myself and you about the issue of muhasiba, of taking our own hisab. The famous quote of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he said, "Take your hisab before your hisab is taken." Muhasiba is something which is recommended on a daily basis. Every night before we go to bed, the best way is to actually have a diary or a pad or something and write. Write down. Now, how is it to be done? First of all, three things. First one is to write what you did. What are the things that you did? So, have three columns or four columns. First column, what you did. Second column, what did you get from what you did. Third column, what you did not do, something which you should have done, but you did not do. And fourth column, what did you lose as a result of not doing that. So, for example, first column, what did you do? You prayed the five salah on time. Alhamdulillah. What did you get for that? And that's why some knowledge is required. What did you get if you prayed the five salah on time? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the one who prays the five fard salawat on time, it is my responsibility to forgive him and enter him into Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the meaning of the hadith, the one who prayed the five fard salawat on time, Allah said, it is my responsibility to forgive him and enter him into Jannah. And the one who did not pray that, Allah says, it is not my responsibility. I may do it, I may not do it. So, first column, I prayed the five salat on time. Second column, what did I get? Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's bashara for Jannah. Third column, three out of the five salat I did not pray in the masjid. So you prayed it on time, but three you did not pray in the masjid. What did you lose? Number one, you lost 26 times the sawab. One you got, 27 out of 27, you got one, you lost 26. What is the value of 26? The value of 1 is the difference between Jannah and Jahannam. So, 26 is 26 times that you did not pray in the masjid. Second thing is the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where he said, I would like to ask somebody to call the adhan. And after the adhan is called, I would like to go and look at people who are still in their houses, and I would like to burn those houses down over those people. See the way, how severe is the criticism for not praying the first salah in the masjid. The masjid is there for a purpose. The masjid is not there to pamper somebody's ego. It is not there as a symbol of your wealth. It is there for people to congregate for the sake of salah and many other things. So, if the masjid is there and you are not praying in the masjid, then this is a very major calamity. So, the fourth column, third column, three out of the five salah I did not pray in the masjid, fourth column, all of this. And similarly for all the other actions of the day. What did I do? What did I get? Now, sometimes you might have done something for which you would have got negative. For example, what did I do? I either participated in the ghibat of somebody either by sitting there or by actually saying things. What did you get? You got the evil deeds of that person. Right? What did you not do? You did not get up and go away. Or you did not stop that ghibat. And as a result of that, what is the result of that? The result of that is you are part of that you are counted as part of that thing, right? So similarly, Mahasiva is this, to make these four columns. What did I do? What did I get? What did I not do? And what is the result of that? So what did I get for not doing? Another point of Mahasiva, especially with regard to both good and bad, but Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Sahaba asked the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they said, how do we know if our action is accepted by Allah? And he said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that if an action is accepted by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will give you tawfiq to do more of that. So if Salah is accepted, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will give you tawfiq to do more Salah. So if one Salah is accepted in the masjid, inshallah, next one also in the masjid. If Allah accepts two rakat of tahajjud, then Allah will give you tawfiq to pray more than two. If Allah accepts your recitation of Quran, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will give you the tawfiq to pray to make more recitation. If Allah accepts your charity, Allah will give you the tawfiq to make more charity and more fasting and so on and so on. So, the sign of acceptance of the actions that we do is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to do more of those good actions. Now, what about bad actions? Supposing we do something and we know it is wrong, but we still do it. So, what should happen? If you are fortunate, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu does not see rebellion inside you, if this is genuine mistake, then you will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will stop you from that action. In one way or the other, sometimes the stopping is a bit painful. It's like wrapping on the wrist. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes will wrap on the wrist. And the wrap on the wrist of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes in many forms. It comes in the form of sickness, it comes in the form of accidents, it comes in the form of calamities of this world. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَنُزِقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. We give them a small punishment before the big punishment so that they can turn towards us. So this is for the people who are, inshallah, they are lucky because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not see them as rebellious. But for the people who are rebellious, who are doing they know it is wrong, they know it is haram, they still do it, they find and create all kinds of excuses for themselves, but they don't leave it. For them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's action is different. For them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's action is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the doors of all good things on them. Surah Al-An'am, the ayat, famous ayat, so many times I have recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the door of all good things on them. So they will become wealthier and they will get more power and they will get more authority and so on and so forth. They know it, they know what they are doing is wrong, but the result of the wrong is no punishment. The result of the wrong is goodness, so-called, in the eyes of the dunya. More money, more wealth, more popularity and so on and so on. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we will catch them in the middle of their happiness, in the middle of their rejoicing. فَهُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ, and they will be broken in spirit. Which means that even the tawfiq for tawbah will not be given. So when you see people in the world who have either hardship or who have wealth, neither of these things, neither hardship nor wealth, is an indication of a person's status with Allah. Neither of them. If the hardship is, if the person has the hardship, but the person also has good deeds with the hardship, then we know that this hardship is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is a way of raising the darajat of that individual. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this. He called it ibtila. Ibtila is something, a hardship that comes to raise the darajat of a person. If you have the hardship and you find evil deeds with it, then it's not ibtila, it is punishment. To turn the person towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have wealth and with the wealth you have good deeds, you have a person who is wealthy, but who also has a life which is free from all haram, it is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is using the wealth for the sake of goodness, to spread goodness all around, then this is from the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you find this wealth, and along with the wealth you are also finding israf, and you are finding all kinds of haram, then this wealth is a sign of the fact that the adab of Allah has already begun on that individual. Because the doors of tawbah, wallahu alam, have probably been closed, and this person is going to go in this state. Now, unfortunately for us, we have legitimized some things on ourselves, and we have decided what is haram and what is halal, and what Allah decided has no value for us. Now, for example, israf is a classic one, where we feel that spending money, ostentation and showing off, we think it is okay. I remind myself and you that whatever you think has no value in Islam. You can think whatever you want. The lawmaker makes the law. And the lawmaker made the law that israf is haram. So therefore, we should watch for this. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to take our hisab before our hisab is taken. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ.